Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Psalm 31:5 and 15. I am Rob West. Those are the words of David, who suffered severe mistreatment at the hands of Saul. We're all treated unfairly from time to time. So how should we respond? Well, I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, before we get into how we should respond when others mistreat us, I think it's important to examine ourselves first and to make sure we're not mistreating others. As Jesus says in Matthew 7:5, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. If you find that you've treated someone unfairly, repent and make amends because you serve a just God. Proverbs 21:3 says, "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." Now, what to do when you're treated unfairly? Well, it could be by a family member, a friend, a boss or coworker, or someone you're doing business with who may be trying to cheat you. Money is often the issue when we interact with others, and it's a powerful motivator to strike back when we feel we're being mistreated. Losing money we feel we deserve to have can make us feel bitter. But Hebrews 12:15 tells us, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." You see, we live in a fallen world filled with fallen people, and we all experience mistreatment at one time or another. It's important to remember that you're one of those fallen people too. Your first instinct might be to lash out against someone who's mistreating you. That is not a biblical response to mistreatment. Instead, look to Christ as your model. No one suffered more injustice and mistreatment than Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:20 through 22, the apostle tells us how a Christian should respond to mistreatment. It reads, "When you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." Now, that's a pretty high bar to reach, but Peter goes on to tell us how to respond like Christ to injustice in verses 23 and 24. They read, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." You see, the key to responding like Christ to injustice is trusting God to work for good in all your affairs. Psalm 37:4 through 6 tells us, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." One of the greatest examples of a Christ-like response to injustice is found in Genesis and the story of Joseph. He was first sold into slavery by his brothers, then wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. Yet Joseph never reacted in an ungodly manner to injustice. He even went on to save his brothers and all of Israel when famine struck. Joseph trusted God, who eventually used Joseph's mistreatment in a powerful way. And God tests us the same way when we suffer injustice. He expects us to respond like Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that we must quietly accept every injustice that comes our way. It's not unbiblical to state your case in truth and love, but the result must be left to God. This brings up the question of whether Christians should sue or not. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, "If you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers?" Paul is adamant that this is a terrible witness for Christ. He goes on to say, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But note that Paul is only talking about Christians suing other Christians in civil courts. The civil courts are ordained by God to protect us from injustice. And nowhere does the Bible say we can't use them when we're wronged outside the church. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. For some in the U.S., today is a day of dread. Taxes officially are due today. For accountants, maybe this is a finish line of sorts, something to look forward to, but most people would rather just get it behind them. Taxation, it's a sore subject. It was 2,000 years ago as well. Jesus spoke about it. The Pharisees then wanted him to call out the oppressive Roman government. To them, Rome was the enemy. But Jesus did not give in. He respected the government of that day and said, "Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And so it is today. We can honor him in our hearts today, knowing that our treasure is in heaven. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Well, we want to help you look at God's money. Yeah, the resources God has entrusted to you through the lens of Scripture. Help you make those practical financial decisions that are on your mind today. I'm sure there's some things that were rolling around in your mind over the weekend, especially with today being tax day. It certainly makes finances something at top of mind, you might say, at this point. Well, whatever you're considering today, we'd love to talk about it. The number to get in on the conversation is 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We've already got several lines holding, but perhaps room for you, 800-525-7000. Before we head to the phones today, the numbers are in for how inflation is affecting auto insurance premiums, and they're not pretty. The latest inflation stats show that premium rates have risen, you ready for this, 22% just since last year. But get this, since the end of 2019, right before the COVID pandemic hit, premium rates are up an average of 45%. In addition to inflation, another factor has contributed to the sharp increase in premium rates, and that's the high cost of repairing vehicles. It's always a good idea to drive defensively and avoid accidents, but if you needed another incentive, safe driving can keep your insurance premiums lower, that's relative, and help you avoid out-of-pocket costs too. So something to keep an eye on. The good news is they're hopeful that as the chip shortages start to work themselves through and maybe we see some normalization in some of the repair costs, hopefully these auto insurance premiums will come back down to earth. But in the meantime, just be aware you're going to have to add some extra room in that all-important spending plan for auto insurance premiums if you haven't already done that. All right, let's head to the phones today, hopefully for some better news. Larry called last week, wasn't able to get on the program, but Larry, I'm grateful you called back from Ohio. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Is this Rob?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
For sure.
I did have a question concerning being able to be a financial institution for a family member. In other words, just loaning them money for like a mortgage.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I would just say the big idea here is to be very cautious. You know, there's a reason when we look at God's word that it says the borrower is slave to the lender, because there's a change in relationship. And as soon as you become the lender to anyone, and that change in relationship, that borrower, that servant-master relationship that the Bible describes, can be really problematic in a family relationship because, you know, it could result in a damage to the relationship. And certainly that's not what anyone wants, especially here where you're trying to be helpful and offering, you know, perhaps a lower, more competitive interest rate. You might have the financial means to do it. And so at face value, it seems like a wonderful idea until, despite someone's best efforts, they're unable to comply with the terms. And it puts you in a bad situation that either results in you coming out of pocket to cover them and or a damaged relationship. And we want to avoid that at all costs. Obviously, this is why co-signing is forbidden in Scripture. I mean, it's just there's nothing good said about co-signing. And this is slightly different because you're not co-signing, but you are becoming the financial institution. Now, from a tax standpoint, the IRS does say what the minimum interest rate is that you can charge. And so there's something called an applicable federal rate or an AFR. So as of last May 2023, and I believe that was the last time they updated this, although you could check that at the IRS.gov website, the annual short-term rate was at 4.3%. That's for loans to be paid back in less than a year. And then a midterm loan was down at 3.57, long-term 3.72. Again, these are subject to change, but that would be the minimum that you would be able to charge without you having to pay some taxes. And so, you know, those, I believe those are updated and released monthly. And so undoubtedly there's a new rate out. So you'd want to check that just to be sure that you were complying there. I would also say that if you decided to go through this, you need to be ready, willing, and able to step in and cover it. And all three of those are important: ready, willing, and able to step in and cover a missed payment, because again, the primary concern is the potential damage to the relationship. The other thing I would say is you absolutely need to do this in the appropriate way, in terms of actually drawing up a promissory note so that everything's in writing. You need to spell out the terms, such as the amount, the monthly payments, the interest, if any, and the consequences if the loan is not repaid. And again, when you're talking about the interest rate, you need to consider that that accepted minimum rate. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Okay, what about, speaking financially, if I were to remove this money from, we're actually wanting to construct a home with it, okay? So I could, it could be in my name, I would be the owner up to this point, maybe something like that. There's a lot of lawful questions that I have to ask, and I probably have to retain a lawyer to get the answers that I would need for this. And I guess my concern is if I withdrew this from an IRA to support the bill, and the closing wouldn't be till after the home was turned over from a contractor. So at that point, I'd have to be ready to distribute the funds from my IRA. And those would be no tax if I used the 3.72 for a long-term, say, 30-year contract. Is that correct?
Well, you wouldn't have a penalty because you'd be above that accepted rate that the IRS publishes, the applicable federal rate. But as soon as we involve an IRA, there's all kinds of tax consequences. What is your age, Larry?
I'm 69.
Okay. So you could, if you're talking about pulling the money out of the IRA for the build, you would not have a penalty, but it would all be taxable. So 100% of that money as it comes out as a distribution would be added to your taxable income, which makes this pretty expensive money to access. Unless you were to do something called a self-directed IRA, which requires a separate self-directed IRA custodian who specializes in this. But essentially, through what's called a self-directed IRA, an IRA can hold non-security assets. So in this case, the IRA could hold a piece of real estate, a piece of property. But again, you'd have to, you know, go through a self-directed IRA custodian for that to take place.
Okay. Where would you find one? Like,
yeah, I don't have a specific one to recommend, but I would just read a lot of reviews online. And so if you just get into your search engine and type in, you know, self-directed IRA custodians or review self-directed IRA custodians, you'll find plenty of reputable websites like Investopedia or NerdWallet and others that would, you know, help you narrow in on what's the right self-directed IRA to you. But how would that work? So let's say you were to create a self-directed IRA. The IRA buys or builds the property. You would then be the owner on the deed. And then are you going to charge someone rent to live there, rent to own, or what are you thinking?
Well, I just basically want them to have their own home, be able to build their own home. So
yeah,
whatever advice you would have based on that.
Okay, let's do this. Let's finish up off the air. I appreciate your question. It's a good one. I know your desire is to help, and I certainly want to assist you in doing that. We're going to take a quick break. Back with much more right after this. Stick around.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We just want to pause and say thank you to everyone who called in and made a pledge, a gift to American Family Radio during our share-a-thon. It's just such an encouragement for us here at AFR to hear back from our listeners all over the country. So we want to say thank you. We want to say God bless you. And we want to ask for your continued prayers and support. God bless you.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Before the break, we were talking to Larry in Ohio. He's got a, for his small family, he wants to help a family member build a home, and he wants to do that out of his IRA. And perhaps, even though the family member owns the land and would put half of the construction costs in out of savings, he'd like to help him, you know, with a low-cost loan. And the objective is what, Larry, to try to help him reduce costs by paying a lower interest than he would if he were to go out and get a mortgage on his own?
Yeah, like anybody, we're just searching for the lowest interest rate, you know, that he would have to carry. So,
yeah, yeah. Very good. You know, so with a self-directed IRA, you can, you know, turn it essentially into a lending institution via promissory notes with the benefit of earning interest on the loan. And so now I think there, you know, there, I'm just looking here. I'm trying to remember. You know, at one point I'd heard that was prohibited. In another case, I heard there is a way to do it. So you would need to check with your self-directed IRA custodian to see if there is a way, you know, to do this, because a lot of this is going to come down to whether it's a short or long-term loan. Now, if you find, and again, there are specialty custodians that handle these self-directed IRAs that could talk to you about whether or not this would be possible to essentially create an income-generating loan that would go back into the IRA. If that's not possible, then do you have other funds that you would essentially like to loan him, not using the IRA, but writing out a promissory note and charging him an interest rate that would be acceptable to the IRS, but below prevailing rates to help him out?
Well, it would be the money would be coming from basically the same pocket.
Okay. So in that case, it does become pretty expensive to you, because if you can't do it out of the self-directed IRA, and again, you may not be able to, I can't remember exactly what the rules are on when you can loan out of the IRA from a self-directed standpoint and when you can't, to be paid back with interest. But assuming you can't, you would have to take a distribution. So in your case, I think you were looking to put $150,000 essentially into the project to be paid back. You'd have to take $150,000 out of your IRA. Now, let's say you did it over two tax years, $75,000 in one tax year, $75,000 in another, you know, just to try to keep it from tripping over into a higher tax bracket. That's still, you know, $150,000 that's going to be added to your taxable income that you're now paying federal and state income taxes on. And then it's going to be paid back to you, but the tax has already been paid, you know, at that point. Does that make sense?
Well, if I borrow, say if I take out $150,000, it's actually going to cost me more than $100,000 the way I viewed it.
Say that. You broke up there a second. Say that again.
Yeah, the way I view that, Rob, is that if I would take out, say, I want the $150,000 in cash or transfer it to my bank account so that I can utilize it for him, then basically would they be writing me a check for about $200,000+? Or
yes,
me $150,000,
yeah,
and then the tax,
absolutely.
It's going to cost me about $50,000.
Right. Well, I mean, let's say it depends on what tax bracket you're in, let's say you're paying, 22%. I mean, you have to take out $183,000 to get $150,000. Yeah. So whatever that the taxes that would be due, you'd have to take out. If you don't have the cash to cover it, you'd have to take out more than that to be able to, send into the IRS. And I wouldn't wait until you file to do that because it's a pretty significant amount. But I guess my question to you would just be, is that do you have the ability to do that, given that this is your only source of capital financially? Could that be harmful to you?
Well, right now, I'm to keep our standard of living, I'm taking 5% out monthly from the IRA. That's automatically deposited.
Okay.
And then, if you're sitting on, let's just say it floats between $800,000 to $1 million a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing is, that's a pretty big tax bill that you're taking. You're taking a pretty big chunk out of that IRA. And then at that point, even if he pays you back, you can't put it back in. So now all of a sudden you're turning around and let's say you're investing it the same way, except now you're paying capital gains taxes on all the profits from here on out, because that money is now invested in a taxable account versus a tax deferred environment. So again, I love your desire to help here, but just make sure you've counted the cost and make sure you're comfortable with it, because if something happened, you didn't get paid back, well, now you're taking more than 5% a year because you're pulling, out of $700,000 instead of $800,000. But if you do get it paid back, now from here on out, it's in a taxable environment as you keep it invested.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So I think your next steps are, number one, can I do this financially? Number two, am I ready, willing, and able to step in the event the family member, despite their best efforts, is not able to fulfill the terms of the loan because I don't want to damage the relationship? Then three, can I do this out of the self-directed IRA? I don't think you can, but you could talk to a custodian. And then four, if at the end of all of that you decide, and if you're married, you and your wife are on the same page about this, then, it's time to connect with a real estate attorney to put the promissory note in place. You'd want to get your CPA involved as well and just make sure you do all this in the right way.
Just do me a promise that you won't tell my wife I called you.
As long as you promise me you're going to talk all this through with her and make sure she's on board.
She lives in the house and I live in the barn, so we'll try to keep this a secret.
Yeah, I can't endorse that one, Larry. Two become one, and that includes finances. God's design is unity. And so my best advice is you bring this before and you guys make this decision together. Listen, I appreciate your desire to be there for your family. You sound like a wonderful dad, and grateful for the time I've had to talk to you today, sir. God bless you. Folks, this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Frank's been holding patiently. Ruth in Nebraska. Plus your questions. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
If your family is dealing with an unplanned pregnancy, it can be a very difficult time, lots of emotions and potential outcomes. On the next Focus on the Family, you'll hear a story of how God intervened in a family's life through an open adoption and an ongoing relationship between the birth mother and her child. Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
So for God to speak is for God to engage in self-revelation. We only know God because God has condescended to speak to us.
The God Who Speaks is a 90-minute documentary that answers many of the common objections about the Bible's reliability. The film equips believers to confidently base their lives on the power of God's Word. It's available at streaming.afa.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go back to the phones to Kentucky. Frank, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. I was just wanted to know, could you recommend anyone from about a reverse mortgage?
I sure can, Frank. Let me ask a couple of questions, though. What is your age, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 80.
Okay. And what is your home worth, sir?
I don't know what it's worth.
Okay. What would you guess? Do you have any ballpark ideas?
No, I never think about it.
Okay.
I think about it, but I'm not too well on those numbers at all.
No problem. I completely understand. And it changes all the time, especially in the last few years. Do you have a mortgage on it, Frank?
Yes. $41,000.
Okay, you owe $41,000. And what is it you're looking to accomplish with the reverse mortgage?
Well, I heard that they would actually do that. You could fix your home up, but you were still owed on the property, even though you paid for your insurance and your taxes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, essentially, Frank, what would happen is your $41,000 mortgage could be paid off with the reverse mortgage, except now with a reverse mortgage, which is what makes it different from what's called a conventional mortgage, which was what you likely have today, is that instead of having a monthly payment, you no longer have a payment. Now, what happens to the balance? Well, it's going to grow over time, because it has interest and fees that'll be added to it. So let's say you didn't take a dime out of it and you just paid off the $41,000. The next month, your mortgage payment would go away. So now your cash flow just went up because the mortgage was paid off with a reverse mortgage and now there's no payment due. Now, with the additional equity, if you wanted to, you could either access that in the form of what's called a line of credit, meaning access to the equity that you could use for home renovations. Again, there'd be no payment due, but whatever you pull out of the equity in the home for improvements or repairs would be added to the balance, which again would grow with interest and fees. The other option is to convert the remaining equity into an income stream, and your age and the amount of equity in your home would determine, based on what's called your life expectancy, how much you could get in the form of a monthly check to supplement your income out of your home equity. Again, that would come out every month, which would add to the balance, and then that would grow with taxes and fees. One of the keys, though, with a reverse mortgage, in addition to the idea that you don't have a payment, is with a home equity conversion mortgage, which is what you would want, it's just another name for a type of reverse mortgage, is the Federal Housing Administration is guaranteeing the loan. And so what they're saying is, listen, even if your house lost value, and even if you lived age 150, let's say you live for another, 70 years, if they paid you out because they're giving you an income payment stream for life, if they paid you out more than your home is worth, once the home is sold at your death, your estate will never owe more than the value of the home. The government will step in and pay it off. And so that's one of the key differentiators. So potentially this could be a good idea as a planning tool for you. It just depends. It's not right for everyone. So where I would go, and this is where we're getting to your initial question here, is our friends at Movement Mortgage and what we can do. I assume you don't use the internet. Is that right?
No, I don't.
Okay. So let's do this. If you stay on the line, our team will get your information and we'll have somebody get in touch with you and that can explain more and help you understand exactly how this would work for you. Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. God bless you, Frank. We appreciate you being on the program today, sir. You stay on the line. 800-525-7000. I've got two lines open to Nebraska. Ruth, thank you for waiting so patiently. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. I appreciate your taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm concerned with outliving retirement savings if I would have to spend too much time in a nursing home or assisted living.
Yes.
And long-term care insurance is too expensive. And based on my experience with my parents, it was too hard to get the insurer to pay out. And an investment manager I use recommends buying life insurance. But my question is, will Medicaid have a right to claim that if I take that out because I want to help my son who will be saddled with my disabled daughter once I pass on? So I just don't know if life insurance is a wise investment if
Yes.
Medicaid can take it.
And what would be the objective of the life insurance? Are you talking about putting money into a policy to grow it and then be able to borrow out from it to pay for long-term care? Or are you talking about the death benefit at your death? What are you thinking about?
I was thinking that if I blow through all my retirement savings in using it for assisted living and long and nursing home, that at least I would have some money to leave in a life insurance policy for my son.
Oh, plus for your heirs.
Investor. Yeah, yeah. Plus the investor said it would be basically tax-free in Nebraska, I think. He might have to pay some tax on it, but, it doesn't tax as much as if he would inherit, inherit investments, whatever.
Yes. Yeah, there's something called Medicaid estate recovery. And so if you're a Medicaid recipient because you did deplete all of your assets and you have a beneficiary of a policy that is to your estate, they can take the proceeds of the death benefit. But generally, they cannot take a life insurance payout from a beneficiary. So if you were to name not your estate, but your children as the death beneficiary on the death benefit, the life insurance company will send the funds of your death benefit directly to the beneficiary, which is why it's critical that you name a beneficiary on your life insurance policy. And at that point, generally speaking, they would not be able to have access to that. I guess my only concern would just be, this is probably, given your age and health status, not going to be an inexpensive policy. And, would your kids be happy for you to not leave an inheritance and make sure you have enough to live on. And by not having this policy, you wouldn't have to be paying this premium each year, and you could put that back into your budget to cover your living expenses.
Right.
What are your thoughts?
But, well, nursing home and assisted living is getting so outrageous in price that, you know, I worry about it. And,
yes. Let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. You and I can finish up on the other side of this break. Or, in fact, let's just talk off the air and we can chat for another moment or two. Ruth, thanks for your call today. Back with Bob Dahl just around the corner. Stay with us.
No part of our life can be left unprotected or exposed. The Bible doesn't tell us to choose 4 or 5 out of these pieces of armor, whichever ones we want, and to implement them. No, we are told to put on, notice, the whole armor of God.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Spiritual Warfare, Armor of the Believer, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. So the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some questions coming up here in our final segment. But first, it's a Monday, which means we check in with our good friend Bob Dahl. Bob is Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. And Bob, it seems like we're starting off a little better than we ended last week. And a lot of that was because we got that hotter than expected reading on inflation, right?
Correct. Three months in a row of hotter than expected inflation. 1 month isn't a disaster, but when you put three in a row, you got to say, maybe it's not inflation's more of a problem than we thought. And to the short term, as you know, stocks opened up today on the back of less fearful news out of the Middle East, up a half to a full percent, depending on the average. Now they're just up marginally. Bonds have weakened and stocks have too.
Yeah, no question about it. It seems like perhaps at least for now, and that's a big caveat, that situation is contained. But Bob, you know, what do you make of this? I mean, obviously, it's really continuing to put, and increasingly so, the Fed in a really tight spot, because they continue to say, yep, rate cuts are coming, and we're expecting more than one of them this year. But as these readings continue to be persistent and high, you know, how are they going to navigate that?
With great difficulty, as you're insinuating with your question. They've been in this pickle before, and sadly, in the last 7 times the Fed has tried for a soft landing, only 2 times have they been successful. So more likely than not, they'll have to watch an economy go into a mild recession. That's our best guess. The alternative, of course, is that we continue to see better news on inflation as we did prior to the last 3 months, and then hope springs eternal one more time. But yeah, they're in a pickle.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, the backdrop to this, which is, I guess, why we haven't seen the recession, at least to this point, is related to jobs. And you had a lot of remarks in your commentary this week just about that situation. Explain that to us.
Yeah, the jobs market has, to some of us, defied gravity. It's been very ebullient. We got the last payroll number, the monthly payroll, up more than 300,000, and the expectation was 200,000. So job growth remains pretty good. Now, we're also seeing some fraying. For example, in small businesses, which tend to add a lot of the jobs, the sentiment there is not good. Those surveys show that small business folks are struggling. Confidence is declining somewhat. And that shouldn't be a surprise given higher interest rates and tighter bank lending standards.
Yeah. Bob, let's talk about stocks. You had a comment in your deliberations this week just about the earnings per share growth of the largest stocks versus the rest. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Overall, first quarter expectations are that earnings will be up 5%. But if you look at the 10 largest stocks, 32%. And wow. The remaining 490, minus 4%. So wow. This bifurcation, Rob, continues to defy most logic.
All right. Bob, let's finish with oil prices. What is the Middle East situation going to do there, in your view?
Well, the fear of what might happen, and of course did over the weekend, has moved oil prices up from roughly 80 to roughly 90. Should there be more turmoil there, there's a risk to $100. And if that happens, that won't be good news for the economy and will increase the probability of a recession. But let's hope and pray that things calm down there and we see some peace.
All right. Well, keep that seatbelt on, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Head over to crossmarkglobal.com. You can sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations, his weekly investment commentary. All right, back to the phones. Let's round out the broadcast with as many questions as we can get to today. Let's go to Texas. Bernardo, thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning.
Yes, sir. Hi. How can I help?
Yeah. My wife, she's a self-employer, so she's 51 years old, and she's wondering if it's not too late to get some retirement, and which company do you recommend?
Yeah, very good. What do you think you all could put away each year in total if you had the ability to put as much as you want into a retirement account?
I think she could put away maybe, let's see, like a $2,000
a month or a year?
I'm sorry, a year, a year,
a couple of thousand a year. So, okay, yeah. So mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So, do you think it's too late, or we can
no,
do something about
you
that?
Know, it's never too late, Bernardo. Here's the reality. I mean, I get you're sitting there like, wait a minute, we're 51 years old. We'd like to be able to retire someday. We feel like we're behind, and I certainly understand that. I think the key is just to start now. Wherever you are, start today. And the key to being able to fund a retirement account, and we'll talk about what type of account and where to open it in a moment, is to dial back your lifestyle. Spend less than you earn. The only way we can fund our long-term goals is out of something called margin. So we have to have something left over at the end of the month. And I realize running a small business is no small feat because she's got to, you know, keep it up and running, and she's got to market it, and she's got to deal with her customers, and she's got to pay, you know, extra in the way of taxes because she's covering both sides of the self-employment tax. And, you know, and then to have something left over is not easy. And yet her ability to do that and your ability to control costs both in her business and in your personal life is really essential to you being able to have something left over at the end of the month. Now, if you can do that, and you're saying you could put away maybe a couple of thousand a year, so let's say she were to put a $200 a month, because of the amount we're talking about, I'd just use a Roth IRA. So, you know, unless she needs the tax deduction, and you could talk to your CPA about that, but either a traditional or a Roth IRA would allow her to put in $8,000 a year up to $8,000 a year into that account because she's 50 or older. And so I'd open a Roth or a traditional, depending on whether you want to put in after-tax dollars and get tax-free growth. That's the Roth. If you'd rather have the tax deduction now, because you guys are paying a lot in taxes because she's a small business owner, then she'd put it into the traditional IRA. And then let's say she put in $2,000 this year for 2024. That $2,000 would be excluded from her taxable income for 2024. And then you'd pay tax on it when she pulls it out in retirement. And then I'd open an IRA at Fidelity or Schwab, probably Fidelity or Schwab. And then you just want to put it in some high quality mutual funds, either faith-based investing funds, or you could use one of the robo advisors like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. And that would be a very low cost automated approach to investing that would use what are called index funds that just capture the broad moves of the stock and bond market over time. Does that all make sense though?
Yes, sir. How much do I need to put to start? Do I need to put a big quantity or just to start with 100?
No, you can start with basically as little as you want. So if you could start with 100 a month, that's enough. And especially with those robo-advisors like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, you don't have typically a minimum investment. So even with $100, you could get started. And then every time you add 100 to it or 200 to it, it would automatically reinvest it, and it would do it on a very low-cost basis.
Okay, so do you have the numbers for those companies?
Because I don't. Are you comfortable on the internet?
Yes, I'm comfortable on the internet.
Okay, good. So just type in your search engine Schwab, S-C-H-W-A-B, Schwab Intelligent Portfolios, and it'll walk you through all the steps to get started.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for you.
You're welcome, Bernardo. Hey, stay on the line. I want to send you a gift. I want to send you a book called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. I think it'll be an encouragement to you. It'll give you a little bit more insight on investing from a biblical perspective. The Sound Mind Investing Handbook. Stay right there. We're going to send it to you. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, John. How can I help, sir?
My father is 88 in very good health. My mom died 4 months ago, and so my father is wanting to protect his home, which may be $350,000 to $400,000. To give it as an inheritance to my two siblings and me. He has about $250,000 in liquid assets. So anyway, the question is, should he go in a nursing home in years to come? He's wanting to find out how to protect really both, all three kids and he are on the liquid assets, but only he and my deceased mother is on the deed of the home. His main concern is the inheritance on the home. But so my question is about trust. You know, what kind of trust that could we do, and what's the time frame? Is it 5 years to be protected if he's in a nursing home? That's my question.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think the first part of this is really an ethical decision. I think you just need to think through if, in fact, the state, the government is paying through Medicaid his medical expenses because he's depleted his assets below that $2,000 threshold. You know, the purpose of Medicaid recovery, estate recovery, is to get paid back. And all of these strategies would involve you kind of moving these assets outside of that. And so I think that's just a conviction you need to come to on your own and really pray through that. Beyond that, yes, there are opportunities through what's called an irrevocable trust that would allow your father to qualify for Medicaid while preserving assets for heirs. It's where he actually loses control, which is why it's irrevocable. And I would get with a godly estate planning attorney who specializes in elder care to talk about the options. There is a 5-year look back period where any money transferred into a trust 5 years before a person applies for Medicaid will delay benefits kicking in. So you need to understand that. And that's where the elder care attorney could be helpful. So if you don't have one, reach out to a CKA in your city. Just go to faithfi.com and click find a professional. They could give you a referral. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, John, but I hope that helps. Olga, let's see if we can get you on later this week. Thanks for your call. We're so thankful to have you with us today. I couldn't do this without my team, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and the rest of the crew here at Faith Fi. Have a wonderful day and come back and join us next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.